As I sat there and listened to the words, I thought of the lady on the rock beside the lake. I hope each one of you have a place that is somewhere that you can go and just kind of be at one with God, whether it's maybe it's an ocean or along a lake like that or a stream. Maybe it's just a spot in a park that you have, but it's a blessing to have those. And I, especially now, if it is available to you, please spend some quiet time in reflection there. Today, we're going to speak on encourager. As we begin, if you would bow your heads. Loving God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you for today, for your intervention in even the technical failures of earlier today, but you have reached in and corrected, and we thank you. And as this message goes out, as this message comes from my mouth, that God, the words are yours, that you would speak what you want spoken, that we would always listen to what you have for us. And God, that we could just internalize what you are speaking into our life, because you do love us and we praise you for it. And we thank you and we give this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. When you hear the word encourager, what or maybe who do you picture? Who comes to mind? And I realize none of you will be able to respond where I can hear you or anyone else, but who is or what is that? And I trust that there is something that comes to mind when you think of an encourager. When facing difficult situations, do you want to face things alone or have someone there with you, supporting you? And for some, they want to be just themselves. For many, they would like to have somebody there with them. You know, right now, life is unsettling or worrisome or both. We struggle with open up, stay at home. Will I be affected more by which choice I make or others make? You know, as we think about an encourager or someone, a friend to collaborate with us, to understand the world or the position that we are in, the things that we are facing, having that friend there, or if you end up, and many have, in a court situation, to have a defense counsel there. You're not just seated at the table without any support. Someone to stand with you. Maybe someone to hold you. And I think of my girls when they were little. If one of them was hurt or they were afraid, to be able to just pull them up in my lap, put my arms around them and just hold them and let them know that they're okay. It will get better. And maybe you can reflect on doing that with your children, or maybe a parent holding you or a friend holding you. Maybe you just need that someone to listen. You're not asking them to fix. You're not asking them to correct. You just need someone to listen as you pour out your heart. I think of the lady in the song at the side of the lake or the pond, maybe pouring out things to God in that moment. What happens when we face the reality that we may lose or we have lost people that we hold most dear? That could be a friend, that could be a parent, a child. What happens? What will we do when we lose that person or that thing? It's not always in death that we lose someone. There could be a tremendous misunderstanding or harsh words or anger spoken, and a friendship or a family is torn apart. Those words, those actions haven't been reconciled. It's hard and it's difficult in that situation. It would be nice if we didn't have to deal with feeling hurt, abandoned, or betrayed. Wouldn't that be an awesome world to not have to experience any of the hurt or the loss, or loss that cannot be changed. The world gives us many solutions, and that's in quotes, to life's drudgery, life's experiences. You know, every year at New Year's, we hear of the gyms and the fitness, and people are going to go work out, and they're going to change, and they're going to start new diets. The gyms will tell you, the fitness facilities will tell you, their busiest season is January. In all likelihood, this year, they will have a second opportunity for that. We will see how that works, but February and March happens, and the people quit going. That desire to change, to go get in shape, whatever it is a fleeting time. Another one is next month's fashion. What's the new fashion that's coming out? And, you know, we can get caught up in some of those things as well. Maybe it's a new relationship. If you're single, certainly people bounce from one person to another, and the next person is the one that is going to make you happy. Maybe it's money. If I have enough money to do X, Y, or Z, I'll be happy. But are you really? Maybe it's fame or popularity. You're the one that everyone looks to, and you say the right words, and people lift you up and say, oh, yeah, this is my champion here. In all of these things, they don't last. It's for a moment in time that these exist. It gives us a sense of false hopes, or maybe just a distraction from the life that we're trying to lead. And in all of these things, we didn't even talk about the addictions that people dive into to take away their pain or to hide things. They bury them. In all of this, it gets old. They all lose their glamour, and the hunger that is left in us is at least as strong, and in a lot of cases, more furious and more pronounced, because we no longer have that hope is taken away. We're left empty, maybe even more than we began. And we have to realize we are living in a broken world, and we can't look to just the world to solve these feelings, these life experiences. We're going to go back to John 14 today. We're remembering that this is in the upper room the night before Jesus was crucified, arrested, crucified, and ultimately condemned to death. But this is a continuation from the message that we've been talking about as he moves forward. Jesus told us that he was in the Father, and the Father was in him. And because of that, we know who the Father is. And because he is in the Father and he is also in us, we are also with the Father. This was all from John 14, the early verses that we talked about last week. Today, we're going to be introduced to the third member of God. And if you remember, last week, we did not reference this person at all. But today, we will, as Jesus carries on the conversation. And remember, as I talked about last week, this message is spoken to those disciples in the room, but it is recorded. So by implication, it's a message to us. This is something that we need to listen to and take in and see how this affects or how this plays into our life. Jesus is telling his disciples what life will be like after he ascends to the Father. And remember last week we talked about the possible fear or anxiety of, Jesus, you're leaving us. And he's now following up with that story. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, that is fine. If you want to just listen, I am going to read today from the Passion Translation. So it's going to be something maybe a little different than you have at home. We're going to pick it up in John 14, verses 15 through 21. Loving me, and this is Jesus speaking, and loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. That's a promise. He will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. This is something Jesus is telling us, and he speaks the truth. We've seen that throughout Scripture, and he's telling us that this Holy Spirit of truth will live and make his home in us, and he will never leave us. In verse 18, I promise, Jesus said, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Those two feelings, helpless and abandonment, are a lot of what society throughout the world is dealing with. The sense of helplessness. I can't change. I can't do. I can't fix. I am helpless. Or being abandoned, whether it's from a family, friend, loss of job, church. Jesus says, I will never leave you there. He promises to take care of us. Verse 19, soon I will leave this world and they will see me no more, but you will see me because I live again and you will come alive too. Verse 20, so when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Going back to verse 18, the passage tells us about the Holy Spirit, who is our companion, he's a connection, and he's a coach. As the companion, the Spirit is God's personal presence. That presence of God is in us because of this Holy Spirit of truth, because of the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus is present and active in the world and so powerful, awesome, that he has each of us in his mind all the time. And he touches our lives through the Holy Spirit on earth. He lives in us now. Jesus resides in us because of the Holy Spirit living in us. The second piece of that, the connection that he has, going to John 16, verses 7 through 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit of truth, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That had to be painful to think about, knowing Jesus was leaving them. But this promise of the Holy Spirit coming was new, but it had to have a great deal of comfort to know that Jesus was not abandoning, he was taking care of. The Holy Spirit speaks to us about the way to life and to the standards of living. When this connection starts, when it begins to work in us, it can be very uncomfortable. When things in our life are not as they should be, change is hard. And the Holy Spirit is showing, he will show us some of those things that need to change. And it can be painful. It can be hurtful. But the Holy Spirit doesn't keep us He doesn't keep us from failure. He allows us to live our life, but he rebuilds us through our failure. He takes that and he works with us, and we can rebuild and we can focus on what God is doing, what Jesus is doing living in us. We may get down as we fail, but learn what it is to get up, to experience God lifting us up, lifting us through these changes, these ideals, that we can become more aligned with Jesus Christ. There's a bigger soul at work within you. Your connection with heaven is healing. And from this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our connection with God in heaven is the healing. As we change, as we become more attuned and aligned with what Jesus is doing in our life. The third aspect is the Holy Spirit as a coach. In verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And keep here in Greek means hold dear or regard. So if you love me, you will hold dear or regard my commands. Makes it very plain. You know, the commands, two of which he mentions in other places, are to love God and love your neighbor. And if you can do those two things perfectly, which as a human we will always fall a little short, but if we can focus there, we will fail, but we will get back up. And the Holy Spirit will lift us up, and we can draw into that understanding and love of God and love of our neighbor. We will learn how to get past hurtful words. We can heal. How awesome is that? You know, there is a better, stronger, freer way of living than living for yourself. Living for yourself tends to put us in that list we talked about earlier. We bounce from one thing to another to another. But deep inside, we know that God has a better way. If we listen to his presence in our life, we hear the words, and it may be a big pill to swallow. Listen to the words. Listen to what he is saying to you. Hear what that is and see what changes in your life happen. What things that you do as you make these adjustments. Realize that the blessing is that it doesn't depend on you. Jesus loves you right where you are. There is no place that you can escape or run from Jesus that he's not there. You can turn a deaf ear, but that doesn't change his love for you. It's constant. It's always there. Jesus is telling the disciples and us about the future. As we would listen to these words, as we listen to them today, knowing where they came from in that upper room, life is about to change drastically again. It's a transition of considerable force. The kingdom is coming, and it's going to come through you. God uses people to be on a mission to other people. Have you ever thought of yourself as being on a mission for God? That's what he's calling you to do. He's calling you to listen to him, to listen to the Spirit as he resides in you. And as you share this joy of Jesus Christ, that mission to others, that's how it comes through you. It's still Jesus doing it. He's just using you, much like today's words. I prayed multiple times, and I believe the words are Jesus, not mine. And they're here for us to listen to. The Holy Spirit walks with us, alongside us, as a companion, a connection with us, and a coach to give us direction. Jesus is with us by the Spirit to bring about the new life of the kingdom, to share that new life with others. If we do that, as we live our life with Him, we will never be the same. We will always be looking and seeing and sharing that joy and experiencing what it is to have Jesus in our life. Thank you for sharing church with us today. We would love to hear from you. You can message us on our website at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. Would mention that as we close, let the Holy Spirit speak to you the words of Jesus Christ. Loving God, in your triune glory of Father, Son, and Spirit, you bless us with your presence, even when we don't realize or we're not looking for. But as that still small voice speaks, God, give us large ears to hear. Ratchet up our hearing and that we can internalize what you're saying. God, what a blessing it is to know that you love us, and thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit to share you, Jesus, with us, to constantly bring us in that presence of God. Thank you, and we praise you and ask for your blessing on not today, but this week. In Christ's name, amen.